Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info. It's so good. It's like, thank you, Lord. Blessing from above has rained down. And, you know, the problem is, I take a bite, I want more. Right? You're probably like, man, I can't just have one. Now, we have two campuses, if you're not familiar with us, or if you're new. And I did this in Canton, so this is my third donut. You know, some ideas go off without a hitch. Others you file away, never to be tried again. Maybe this is one of those. But the problem is, I can't just eat one donut. And I started to tell myself, you know, I deserve a donut. I work hard. I deserve a donut. I might deserve two donuts. I'm going to reward myself for my hard work, my dedication, by eating a donut. And then I'm going to get another one. Because, I mean, you can't just have one. You got to have two. And I start to think, man, this is really satisfying. This is what life is about. I've reached the top. And then I start to think, well, I can't resist these now. I might have a problem. Now I've reached the stage of self-deception where I start to, man, not only do I deserve this donut, but I have to have this donut. I need this donut. I cannot resist this donut. As do others. We saw who couldn't resist either. You saw those that came to the front. That was a test. But donuts are one thing. But today we're talking about temptation, and we're wrapping up the series, Teach Us to Pray. And, You know, it's tempting to eat a donut, and that's one thing. But what about when it comes to more serious things, you know, that end up causing harm, end up, you know, really kind of severing our relationship with others, destroying our health or our well-being, our relationships, and really causing us to drift away from God. Now, today we're looking at the last line of the Lord's Prayer. You know, in this series, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And 2 weeks ago, Chris Stovall kicked it off, and he talked about hallowed be your name. And if you weren't with us, I want to encourage you to go back and watch any of the last two messages. And last week, Carlos taught here and talked about the phrase give us and forgive us. And today we're wrapping it up, looking at the last line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I think there's a couple things that we need to really set out here as I finish this donut. And it's this, what exactly is temptation? And why is it important that we resist it? Now, why this prayer? Why is this phrase the end of the Lord's Prayer? You know, this invitation by Jesus for us to take a look at his life and really see through the lens how he views his life and how he views his purpose and how he views the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's an invitation to look at the life of Jesus through his own lens in order that we would model after him how to pray. And, you know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I think, but, you know, we should want to learn how to pray. You know, that this invitation by Jesus to learn how to pray is something that all of us should have this desire that Jesus would teach us how to pray. But why does he state this as the end of the Lord's Prayer? What is temptation? Well, Oscar Wilde said, I can resist anything except temptation. And maybe you can identify with that. But temptation, I want to define as just a desire to do something wrong or unwise. A desire to do something wrong or unwise. Now, this word for temptation is also translated as testing. The Greek word is used as both, as testing and temptation. I think that's important because as we're going to talk about in a minute, you know, sometimes we're in a testing that God is using to test our faithfulness, and sometimes we're in a testing that ends up in temptation. And there's a difference there. But temptation is a desire to do something wrong or unwise. And here's what I was thinking about as I was preparing for this. You know, we should really pause if we're not being tempted. And if you say, well, you know, Mitchell, I don't struggle with temptation. I'm probably going to run from you. But you should also pause because if you're not being tempted, you're not a threat to the enemy. You're not a threat to Satan. If you are not experiencing temptation, I want to tell you this, and maybe this is a shock to some of us, but temptation will continue as long as you and I are alive. There will not be a moment in life where we are not tempted. As long as we are breathing on this earth, we are going to face temptation. Temptation is a challenge because that's what temptation is. It is something that seems to be beneficial, seems to be satisfying, you know, seems to be good. It is good. I mean, you know, I ate three or four donuts today, and, you know, I feel not great. But in the moment, as I was eating them, in the moment, I was like, well, this is amazing. Like, they've got the Christmas donuts out with the sprinkles and just, I mean, the classic donut is the Boston cream. That's all other donuts are like pale in comparison. But that's what happens in temptation. And I want us to know this, that the enemy, Satan, is behind your temptation. The scripture tells us that God is not the one who tempts us. And the enemy is behind our temptation. 1 John 5 says that we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. See, here's the process of temptation. I think it happens really in four stages. The first stage is deception. Okay? The first stage is deception. And in deception, temptation says to us, you know, this is fine. Like, this is normal. This is what you deserve. Like, just like this donut. You work hard. Like, you deserve some me time. And you deserve to have this. Like, this is just what people do. Like, you're no different. It's like, this is a normal thing. Deception. And then desire, where I start to believe, well, yeah, I not only do I believe that I deserve this, but I want this. I deserve this donut, and now I really want this donut. And now I really want this, and when I start to feel the desire, not only is it just the belief in my head that I deserve it, it's now the feeling that I want it internally. And then the third stage is gratification, where I start to engage in that, I fall into temptation, and I start to sense and be addicted and crave the gratification that comes, and like, that's the point of temptation. Like, it's not an obviously bad, like, it's not a repulsive thing. Temptation wouldn't be temptation if it wasn't attractive to us. And then the last stage is more self-deception, where I believe that I cannot resist it anymore. I have to have this to get by. I need this to survive. Like, have you seen how busy I am? Have you seen my kids? Have you seen the stress that's on my family? Like, I cannot survive without this. And then it eventually kills us. C.S. Lewis, in his famous work, The Screwtape Letters, said this: there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves, the devils, are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. See, what happens is that we treat temptation too lightly. We take it too lightly. We don't take it seriously enough. And we either go to one extreme of not taking it seriously at all, sort of making fun of it or disbelieving in its existence. You know, we don't, the spiritual warfare stuff, like, that's for like the crazy people. Or we go to the other extreme and obsess over it, and both are unhealthy, and both are what the enemy wants. I believe we take it too lightly. Here's a litmus test for that. Just look at my life. I can look at my life, and I can ask myself this question: does my life look any different than someone who does not follow Jesus? And I'm not talking about attending church being the distinctive difference here. I'm talking about the quality of my life, whether or not I'm seeking and pursuing God, loving God, and doing what he says as his disciple, as Jesus' disciple. Is my life markedly different than someone who is not following Jesus? Am I loving my neighbor in the way Jesus calls me to love my neighbor? Am I seeking to be generous with the resources that God has given me? Am I seeking to bless the neighborhood that I live in and the community that I live in? Am I taking seriously the commission and the call to take the message of Jesus to the places that I live, work, and play, not just some faraway land for only the missionaries, but I see myself as a missionary? Like, is my life different? I believe we take it too lightly. Here's why we need to take temptation seriously. Because
We need to take holiness seriously. Holiness. You and I are called to be holy. That word to me means to be set apart. We are called to be set apart and marked by the life of Jesus and our own life. And temptation is when we give into the power of the enemy to pull us away from a life of holiness. That's what happens in temptation. But as I said, this word means testing. It also means temptation. It can mean both. It's used as both. And there's a difference, because there are times in which we are tested. There are times in the scripture where people are tested. Abraham was tested by God to prove his faithfulness. There are times of testing in which God is trying to test and prove whether or not we are faithful when we go through a challenging time, when we go through a test. See, but we take a test and we see that test not as a test, but we see it as punishment. And we blame God and we say, God, why are you doing this to me? You're punishing me. What have I done to deserve this? But when really God is just testing us, because on the other side of that test is more power, more provision, more of Him, and that is the goal, to experience more of Him. That's the purpose of the test. So are you going through a test right now? Are you going through a test personally in a relationship? Are you going through a test maybe in your workplace? Are you going through a test in your network of relationships, your friend circle, or your family? But see, instead of seeing it as a test, we see it as a punishment. Well, God just must be out to get me, like He's some sadistic, narcissistic, cosmic being who only enjoys punishing me. And our prayers become, God, when is this going to be over? Instead of, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? See, the reason that we don't see it as a test, but instead as punishment, is because we bought into this cultural Christianity message that says that following Jesus is about what's convenient, what's comfortable, what is easiest for us. But following Jesus was never meant to be easy. It was never meant to be comfortable, never meant to be convenient. And so instead of seeing a test as an opportunity for growth, we see it as a punishment and curse God. But see, there's testing that leads to teaching. And testing that leads to teaching gives life. But there's also testing that leads to temptation. And the difference is that in a test that leads to temptation, I start to believe the lies that the enemy wants me to believe. I start to believe the lies about my identity, my purpose, my status, my calling. I start to believe that I'm not worthy enough, or I'm not gifted enough, or I'm not strong enough. I start to believe that I'm not called by God to do what He's called me to do. And when we start to believe the lies of the enemy in the middle of that test, that's when it becomes a temptation. And that's when it brings death. Satan is behind every test that leads to temptation. Every test that leads to temptation. See, the enemy wants to lull you and me to sleep. He wants to lull us to sleep. He wants us to think that holiness is, man, that's just like a, that seems like a religious term. You know, that's like for the religious elite or the professionals. The enemy wants us to take holiness lightly, but we need to take it seriously. See, we don't talk enough about temptation. I think we try to sort of keep it on the inside. We think it's a personal thing because we've been bought into the lie that our faith is a personal thing, that we don't really share it with others, that, you know, it's just over here in the corner, this corner of our life. And there's those of us in the room that are suffering under the weight of temptation. We're being crushed by it. And we're fearful of anyone else knowing anything about it because we're afraid of what they might think or believe about us. When in reality, all of us are wrestling with temptation all the time. I mean, we're not fooling anyone. So testing that leads to temptation produces death. But God provides a way out. God provides a way out. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 through 14, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So it's Christmas season, you know, and I don't know if you've put your lights up yet on the outside. If you haven't, you're behind. Like, get with it. We put ours up early, so I was feeling good about myself. You know, put mine up before the neighbors. Saw him outside the other day, and he's like, "Hell, hey, your lights look good." I said, "Ah, well, what do you do? I mean, just it's the least I could do, like, right?" And then he put his up the same day, probably feeling lesser than, understandably. I prayed for him that he would arise from his slothfulness. But you know, here's my thing about Christmas lights on the outside. I'm in charge of the outside. Megan's in charge of the inside. That's how we stay married. And here's my thing about lights on the outside. If it takes me more than an hour, I'm not putting it up. Like, whatever I can put up in an hour, I'll put up. So, you know, we have a couple of the bushes that have lights around them, and I have some strung across the top of the garage. And then I've got some wrapped around the columns in front of the front door. And that's it. You know, it's an hour. If I can put it up in an hour, I'll put it up. I pass that. And this is a hard and fast cutoff. You know, I'll drop a string of lights if that hour hits. I'm just having some fun. But, you know, you get up on that ladder to put the lights up, and it's like, man, Did I check my life insurance policy? Is it current? Like, is this covered? Like, if the ladder falls over and I fall to my death, and you know, that's just not a way I want to go out. Like, putting up Christmas lights. I mean, I want it to be something like adventurous or heroic. Like he rushed into a burning building, but you know, or something like that. But not Christmas lights. It's just not as, it's like, well, he fell over putting up Christmas lights. Yeah, so sad, you know. But where was I going with this? I don't know. But Paul says that if you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. See, when we're lulled to sleep by the enemy, we're always comfortable with where we're at. And Paul says, no, you got to be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. We say that again. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God is not some sadistic, narcissistic, cosmic being enjoying your punishment or your struggle against temptation. He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. See, God's purposes in the middle of this season of temptation is to show his faithfulness and show that you can endure it through his power at work within your weakness. Did you catch that end? God's power through your weakness and my weakness is what enables us to endure temptation. So here's a litmus test. If you are in the middle of a temptation right now, or maybe you're wondering, like, should I do something? Like, is this a wise decision? Is this healthy? Is this beneficial? Is this fruitful? for me to do, bring it to God in prayer. Bring it into his presence. Ask him to reveal to you whether or not this is a wise thing for you to do or whether it's destructive or harmful. Now, obviously, if it goes against Scripture, it's harmful. If Scripture commands it, you know, don't do it or do it, depending on what Scripture says, and bring it into God's presence in prayer, because when we bring it to God in prayer, we either get an affirmation or we get an unsettling feeling about it, and that's to the point in which the wise thing to do is to not do it. So bring it to God, and secondly, bring it to others. Oh, man, no, man, now you're, you know, now you're getting personal. When was the last time that you asked a trusted person, a trusted Christ follower, to pray about something that you were wrestling with, that you were struggling with, that you were tempted by? When was the last time? And if it's been too long to remember, it may just be that you're buying into the lie that you're supposed to deal with this all by yourself. See, that's what cultural Christianity tells us. Man, this is a private thing. Faith is personal, right? You don't talk about faith like it's a personal thing. It's just between you and God, right? Just between you and God. That is not true. See, when we come to faith and we are saved into a new spiritual family called the church. It's never, ever just between you and God. Okay? So bring it to others. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, TMI, okay, is a real thing. Spiritual TMI, you know, we didn't need to hear all the details. Maybe just tell us enough so that we can pray about it specifically. But let's use some discretion. Let's use some wisdom. And it's probably a trusted person, a trusted one or maybe two at the most, trusted Christ-following friends or family that we ask to pray about something. And some of us are crushed by the weight of trying to do Christianity in isolation, especially men. We're sold this lie that, man, we've got to like be strong and don't tell anyone that you're struggling and that you're weak. Like if you do that, and what we have is a lot of men walking around being crushed by the burden and the weight of what they're wrestling with, and no one knows a thing. The best thing that you can do is to confess to one another. James says that. James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that what? So that you may be healed. The only way that healing comes is through honest confession with a trusted, Christ-following friend. So bring it to God and bring it to others. We're wrapping up this series, Teach Us to Pray. And I want to sort of issue a challenge. You know, we have a week of prayer that starts today. And some of you may have seen this. And if we could throw it, maybe, can we throw it up on the screen, maybe, graphic, or just go to the website. It's a week of prayer, and if you go to the website, you'll see. Actually, I want you to do it now. Right now, my phone's over there, but I've already signed up. You go to the website, lcga.info. No, seriously, do it now. Don't wait, because we know, you know, I mean, when we leave the building, we forget, you know, we're thinking about something else. So here's the challenge. We're approaching Advent. Advent begins next Sunday. It runs December 3rd through December 24th. And we want to approach Advent with expectation. You know, Advent means preparation. Go to lcga.info. You'll see the Teach Us to Pray, or the Week of 24/7 Prayer. click on that. You can sign up for an hour time slot, anytime between today and next Sunday. And some people have already signed up, so if you notice the time slot's not available, it's because someone has signed up. And we're approaching Advent, and we want to prepare for Advent. So it's kind of like we want to prepare for the preparing. And we want to ask God to do something amazing, incredible. Are you tempted by something? Pray about it. Bring it to others. Sign up for a time slot. And if this is new to you, you're like, man, I could never pray for an hour. I'll pray for 3 minutes and then start thinking about the to-do list. That's okay. You know, no one's going to be sitting there with a timer. There's actually a guide on the website. I think it's called How to Pray for an Hour. That kind of walks you through, you know, how do you do this? You know, if you've never done something like this, how do you pray for an hour? What do I pray about? And it sort of gives you it's a guide. And so I'm calling the church to prayer because, you know, not just for Advent, but I believe God is preparing us to do something great in and through us. And there every significant breakthrough, not only in our lives personally, but in the life of the church, always is preceded by prayer. I mean, if you look throughout history, every great revival is built on prayer. Every great move of God is preceded by prayer. And if we want God to do something great, we've got to go to him and ask in fervent prayer. So I want that for you personally, individually, and in your family. What is the breakthrough that God is preparing you for, that you're asking him for? And I want that for us collectively as a church, that God is about to do something amazing and he's about to break in and just do something incredible in and through us. But it's always preceded by prayer. Prayer is the engine for a move of God. It's the fuel for a move of God. And so what would it look like in your personal life, in your walk with Jesus, if you really zeroed in on prayer this Advent, in preparation for Advent over the next 7 days? Instead of caving to the temptation of being busy this Christmas, you said, no, we're going to be different. We're going to be marked not by speeding up, but by slowing down. We're going to be marked not with activity, but with reflection. We're going to be marked with intentional pursuit of God. And what is God saying to us? The enemy wants you to be so busy this Advent that you cannot hear from God. That's right where he wants you. In order to push back on that, in order to resist that temptation, we have to come before him in prayer and beg him for the resistance, for the strength to be obedient through his Spirit that enables us to be obedient. So I would love for every person who's part of Legacy to sign up for an hour and pray this week. What is the breakthrough that God, you believe God has for you, that you're asking God for, and that you would pray that God would do something great among us and we would get to see it? Does that sound good?